yourself Home Assembly Ejecto Chair.
Who could that be?
That'll be my parents. Didn't I tell you they were staying the weekend? Go.
The do-it-yourself home assembly Ejecto chair will eject you out of any situation at the first sign of trouble. Ideal for just relaxing around the home.
The best TV I've ever seen. What's on next?
The nanny.
See ya.
Perfect to have round the office.
Below, your work for the last month has been crap. Pack up your bags and get out.
But now!
Don't delete!
You fat bastard!
And always comes in handy on those social occasions when you've been caught with your pants down.
Gee, we got good seats.
I know.
What's the film again?
Portrait of a Lady.
The do-it-yourself home assembly Ejecto chair can be custom designed by our team of experts to blend in seamlessly with the rest of the chairs gathered round your dining table.
Look, all I'm saying is that I think Pauline Hanson has some interesting...
You'd be surprised to know just who's taking advantage of the do-it-yourself home assembly Ejecto chair.
And that's the news for tonight. Don't forget, coming up next, it's Sale of the Century. Until then, may your news be good news and good night.
And all this month, with every purchase, the good folk here at Martin Molloy will throw in a remote-controlled home assembly electric chair. Absolutely free.
I reckon I saw the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life today. Jeez, it was funny.
What was it?
Peter Costello doing the Macarena on me.
The do-it-yourself home assembly Ejecto chair and remote-controlled electric chair. Out now from Martin Molloy. How was that?
Great, Pete. Thanks for coming in. Bye.
Oh, actually, I thought I'd hang around for a while.
I don't think so.
At least it wasn't the electric.
That's Phil Collins. You can't hurry love here on the paper rustling program.
I can't believe you had to consult a piece of paper to tell us that was Phil Collins.
I was looking for this big time Spice Girls story, which we'll get
gotcha.
To. You know, you've got to have everything here.
Mm.
What other show offers you this kind of quality paper rustling? Are they doing that on the AM band?
Oh, no.
All right. What are we doing here? Oh, in the next hour on Martin Molloy, it's back by popular demand, prize decks.
Oh, good.
We did this last year, and it seems a lot of people have been making decks of themselves in the interim. Mm. So we're basically bringing it back to clear the backlog of decks.
Yep.
Get yourself deckside in the next hour on this program. Santo Chilaro will be with us.
Mm-hmm.
And that must mean it's Frontline Night, which it is indeed.
Yep.
And also Radio Gladiators is coming up, and just a lot of little stories I want to get through.
Oh, yeah.
Have you heard this disturbing news, Mick? A 4-year Australian medical study has found that prolonged exposure to radio frequency electromagnetic fields of the type emitted by digital mobile phones caused cancer in the immune system of mice. Now, this is fantastic news for people who have got mice using their mobile phones while they're out of the room.
Oh, yeah.
Does that ever happen to you?
Hasn't yet.
Oh, look, we used to have a mobile phone. We were getting these outrageous bills.
Yeah, right.
And finally, I got a breakdown from Telstra, and there was about 700 calls to Cheese World near Warrnambool in Victoria. So this is fantastic news.
Oh, dear.
And what now? So speaking of the Spice Girls, a couple of stories to get through. I know that we haven't really got time to go into this in detail, but the Pope has granted the Spice Girls permission to film their new movie, which is called Five, in case you're wondering.
Mm.
If they do a sequel, that'll be 5-2, I suppose. That's going to cause trouble. But at the Vatican, the Spice Girls are going to film their movie at the Vatican. Will the Pope be in there? Popey Spice? Will he be in there?
Are we having a go? The Spice Girls movie must be on his list of movies to see, though.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's pretty particular about what you can and can't see.
Well, you'll have to have a sort of Alfred Hitchcock-style cameo, you know, walking through the double bass through the back of shot. something like that.
Why not?
Okay, now what is the Big Spice Girls news?
It is, and I know you're from New Zealand, Tone, so I don't want you to get too angry about all this, but there is a bit of a furor.
Yeah.
The Spice Girls have sparked outrage in New Zealand by performing the traditional Maori war dance, the Haka.
Oh, yeah.
The group performed Kamate, a war cry used by the All Black rugby team to intimidate opponents on a promotional visit to Bali last week.
And that is
a controversy.
You can't just peel off the Haka. Especially if you're the Spice Girls.
There you go. You know, in retaliation, I think the All Blacks should try and intimidate their next opponent by breaking into Wannabe just before their next rugby match.
That's a great idea.
Oh, that'll get them running.
Zing-a-zang, zing-a-zang.
Oh, no! That's exactly how to work. The performance infuriated Maori leaders and Haka experts who said Kamate was not supposed to be performed by women. And that must explain why there was such a furor when Peter Andre performed it.
Congratulations, Mick Malloy, on your 100th Peter Andre is a girl joke. May your second 100 bring as much mirth and joy to ordinary Australians as your first.
Well done. Thank you, everyone. And flowers.
Well done,
thank you, Tony. Mwah, Gracie.
I think we should do a Haka now just to get some cheap publicity for the show. Now, have we got time for Duchovny Watch?
Oh, yes, please.
Everyone's talking about David Duchovny being found with traces of cocaine on him after being searched by customs officials in Canada. An airport sniffer dog located the drug as Mulder was trying to cross from Vancouver, where, of course, The X-Files is filmed. Mm. They found cocaine residue on his credit card and proceeded to quiz the shaken star. Now, Duchovny got out of it by saying that the drug probably came from a user who had handled his credit card.
Oh, I see.
Now, you know, when you loan someone your credit card, I mean, what is it? Can I just borrow your credit card? I'll just be in the toilet. Buying something. You know, how does that happen?
I have no idea. Mind you, Tone, judging from that photograph you showed me of Duchovny and his Speedos, I think I know where he keeps his stash.
This is Martin Malloy.
Still struggling with this David Duchovny story. So what's happened? The sniffer dogs have come running up. He's got traces of cocaine on his credit card in his pocket.
Yeah, so the sniffer dogs have attacked him.
Yes, that's right.
Probably because he's got a can of Pal stuffed down the front of his pants.
That's what I've heard.
That's the giveaway. Yumbo. There was a queue of them.
That's right.
There was a convoy of sniffer dogs.
Isn't it supposed to be true that excessive use of cocaine shrinks your genitalia?
I believe
Maybe
so.
Maybe that's what he's up to. It's the only way I can get the trunks on.
What? Me?
All right, let's put that to bed and have some of this.
Radio Gladiators, your chance to represent your state and win fame, glory, and fabulous prizes. Here's today's challenge.
If there's one thing we like on this show... What? You've got some more about that credit card.
I did. I had my 101st Peter Andre joke about that whole shrinking genitalia thing, but I think we should maybe move on.
You've given the listeners the components. I'm sure they can assemble it on their own. Now, we do love the work of wacky record breakers on this show.
Yeah.
I mean, ever since I was a kiddie and I opened up the Guinness Book of World Records and saw that bloke with the 52 lit cigarettes in his mouth. You know, I've been interested in that Guinness Book and people who try and get in there. I went past the Guinness building just recently. There was five people out the front with 52 lit cigarettes in the mouth each. They have to go outside now when they want to try and break that bastard.
Gotcha.
But I know there's been a lot of wacky record-breaking work going on. Let's just run through some of them. I know there's a guy here in Australia somewhere, I'm not sure where, who's trying to get into the Guinness Book for not paying for meals and restaurants. Have you heard about him?
I have.
Offered a seat in the Senate. That's what I heard. That's what I heard. And what else? Oh, and that fantastic story we heard about last week. Apparently there is a record for, well, this guy tried to break it anyway. I'm not confirming that it's in the book,
right,
but he claims it is. Dangling your dog off the ground. Homer was trying a bit of this last night on The Simpsons. Dangling your dog off the ground by a bratwurst sausage. See, it works with pit bulls best, apparently. Yeah. And so the guy had it, his dog, holding onto a sausage.
Yeah. That was how they found the sniffer dog hanging off David Duchovny's pants. Trying to break the record, I believe.
70 minutes! Give him a prize! Okay, so there's that one.
Yep. Right. There's one in the paper today, Shane. This is a wacky one.
Okay.
A Chinese amusement park refused to free a family with a toddler and young baby from a cage with 38,888 snakes.
Really?
After a publicity stunt designed to get them into the Guinness Book of Records turned horribly wrong. An amusement park. That's fun, isn't it? Let's go to a Chinese amusement park. Kids queue up to spend a night in the tank with 38,000 snakes.
So hang on. Someone's been locked in a cage full of 38,000 snakes and it's gone horribly wrong.
It's gone horribly wrong. Well, they want to be let out because one of them got bitten. What were the chances of that happening? Hey, that wasn't part of the agreement. Well, listen, they tried to be let out, but the organisers of the amusement park wouldn't let them because they want them to break the record. So I find that incredibly amusing. There's a young girl in there who's three. She could be a lump in that snake's throat. And the organisers will still be going, oh, a couple more days. You're nearly there.
How do you lock snakes in a cage? That's what I'm trying to work out at the moment.
Oh, dear. Look, the snakes slithered across beds, were draped on an overhead branch and wriggled underfoot during the stunt. I stayed in a bed and breakfast, remarkably similar to that.
Now, are we setting up something like this for Radio Gladiators?
I think that could be what we're here for.
Is there a cage? No, we're not getting people. There's not going to be snake wrestling.
No.
We want you to call us up. We've done this before. Mm-hmm. And tell us why you should be in the Guinness Book of World Records. Mm-hmm. Obviously, certain record-breaking attempts have decreed to be honoured by the Guinness people. Lit cigarettes, dog dangling, snake wrestling, etc. But what about those little records that, everyone holds the record for something. I know we hold the record for the longest comedy album ever released. We broke our own record on that one.
Yep.
Not the best comedy album, but longest nonetheless.
There you go.
Do we hold any other records?
I've been using the same bar of soap since 1981. Does that count? In fact, I think I've got it on me. Here it is, here, tangled up in my underarm here.
Oh, fantastic.
It's the size of my fingernail.
Where are
I'll be washing your mouth out with it later.
There'll be a Guinness photographer here before the end of the program. I know I've been, I know we don't like to talk about what we get up to on the weekends here on the show, but look, I'm going to give this to you as an exclusive. Mickey, I'm teaching my cat to dance. Now, it's either that or mow the back lawn.
Right.
And so I've got it down to that as a weekend task, and I'm using this bit of music here. And whenever the neighbours hear this now, you'll see my wife out the front going, he's teaching the cat to dance! What else would it be? And I'm quite serious about this. I've got the cat up to 22 seconds on the hind legs.
Right.
And I'm not saying it's a recognisable dance yet. I'm not saying it's the Macarena, the Lambada or the Birdie. But it's 22 seconds on the hind legs. Can anyone top that? Has it ever been topped?
I don't think so.
And that's without the aid of any Duchovny work to sort of prompt it to get up.
When you're doing this, Tane, has anyone ever just walked up to you, tapped you on the shoulder and said, may I cut in?
Has that ever happened?
Neighbourhood cats. Well, I don't know that that's very helpful or even useful. But, I mean, you know, people get up to that.
You know,
kind of bizarre records around the house. They go, I'll see how many of them I can eat.
Yeah.
How many of them I can balance.
Yeah.
How long I can do that for. I'm just trying to think of any others. I went through the whole of last summer, is it still summer?
No.
We're out of summer now.
It's autumn.
I went through the whole of summer without once saying, hot enough for you?
Well done.
That's got to be a record. Mm-mm. And I don't know if you were paying attention recently, Mick, but we made it through four editions of Martin Malloy without once referring to Mal Colston.
Wow.
That is a record for this show.
I'm impressed.
All right. Now, we want to hear if you've got a record, if you feel you should be in the Guinness Book, can be damn trivial. You know how this show works. Call us now and do we have a prize? But now I've heard about this. It's the microwave that cooks and defrosts more evenly and thoroughly than others.
Is that right?
It doesn't just home on, you know, in on the bits of food that it likes and says, I'll cook that bit. It actually spreads the cooking, redistributes it over the entire item.
Well, good on it. Good on it for doing that.
Do you reckon I could get a job in the gift shop on Sale of the Century?
Absolutely.
And we'll throw in a Sanyo Tabura.
Oh, tell us a bit about that.
Do you know what the Tabura is?
No,
it's a totally hands-free, cordless phone with a powerful microwave and speaker in the handset. Fantastic news for the handless.
So you could use that while you're dancing with the cat, Tane?
You certainly could, and I'll be trying that tonight. Call us now. Tell us why you should be in the Guinness Book of Records. Will accept pretty much anything. 1-800-657-657. Oh, this is Martin Malloy. It's Radio Gladiators. And today we're trying to, cobble together our own addendum appendix, addition, supplement to the Guinness Book of World Records. World records that have perhaps been overlooked. Really important ones. Now, just before we get to the competitors in earnest, I understand someone who works for the program in Townsville is on the line. Is that right, Mick?
Yep, it's a panelator up there by the name of Paul. Are you there, Paul?
Hello, how are you guys?
Good, mate. How are you?
Oh, look, I'm pressing all the right buttons up here.
Oh, good on you.
Is it a hard job pushing the buttons for Martin Malloy in Townsville?
Oh, it's almost as much energy as Mel Colson takes to stand.
Oh, you've heard a lot of this show, clearly.
Oh, look, I love Mel Colson. He's my favourite.
All right. Now, do you hold some kind of record, Paul?
I don't know if it'll get into the records, but let's see how it goes. It's the worst or the best Marge Simpson that's ever been done in the world.
Worst or best?
Yes. You guys decide.
All right, let's hear it.
Okay.
Oh, my God, it's loose talk and foolish behaviour with T. Martin and Mick Malloy. I think Mel Colson's fat.
Worst or best?
I don't know. Which end of the pole are you going?
Fergie end.
I think it's the most medium. I reckon it's right in the middle between good and bad.
Righto.
Okay.
Right at the point of that equilibrium stroke balance.
Oh, I think our button pushers need something to do.
They need to be let out of the office.
While the songs are on. Okay, thanks, Paul. Now let's meet the competitors, the record breakers. And first up is Daniel. First of two Daniels. Are you there, Daniel?
Yeah, mate.
What do you hold the record for?
Well, you know that old McDonald's song, you know, the guy who sings all the Big Macs and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I ate 26 Big Macs one night.
You did?
Yeah. And?
Yes?
And I sang the song 26 times, one during each burger.
Right.
As I was eating the burger.
Right.
And I'll tell you what, I was on the toilet for quite a while after that.
Oh, okay. And were you loaded into an ambulance? Did it end up that way?
I was in a wheelchair, actually, for a couple of days.
Oh, really?
26 Big Macs in one session.
Yeah.
Did you go the pickles or did they come off?
Oh, we're talking about the wall paintings, mate.
Sure, I think that disqualifies you right there.
There you go.
That's not a whole Big Mac.
You're out.
All right, Daniel, thanks. I think Naomi has a record of her own. Are you there, Naomi?
Yeah, I'm here.
What's your record?
When we were younger, my sister and I tried to shove as many prawn chips into our mouth and still speak clearly without vomiting.
And still speak clearly without vomiting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I suppose that's impressive. How many did you do?
I got ten.
Ten?
I won, yeah.
Okay.
10 prawn chips.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, they're pretty big.
Yeah.
You just lost it completely, didn't you?
Oh, yeah.
You just threw caution to the wind and went on a prawn chip eating binge that's going to be talked about for hundreds of years to come. 10, you say? I can't quite believe it myself. 10.
It's a bit of fun when you're young.
10 old prawn chips. I could get that up my right nostril.
Oh,
and
well, there
done.
You go.
Go get your Guinness Book of Records out now.
Naomi, do you ever get out the prawn chips and try and beat your own record these days?
No, not lately.
Oh, okay.
I'll have to try it.
All right, well, you do that, and maybe we could arrange that live on the show.
Okay, then.
Okay, we'll tee that up as an event.
I think I might have upset Naomi. We'll have to make up after the segment.
Okay, with prawn chips.
Send us some prawn chips.
Have we got Jason on the line? You there, Jace?
Yeah, I'm here.
You a record breaker?
Sure I am, mate.
Yeah? What have you done?
Well, started at a pretty quiet night, had an Asian prawn omelette, sold a bottle of XO down at Parrish of Smiggins.
Yeah.
I threw up 19 times into the snow.
Gee. What is the record for Parrish of Smiggins?
I haven't
got the stats on me, Jace. We got the Parrish of Smiggins figures for vomiting.
Can we get those in now? 19, you say. Over what time period are we talking, Jace?
Over 6 hours, mate. I remember every excruciating minute of it.
Gee, and what sort of reaction were you getting from the people at the Smiggins?
Well, they were all standing around seeing how far it could sink into the snow.
Oh, of course. See if you could start an avalanche.
Yeah, it got down about 3 feet.
Important work.
Well.
Yes, and you've got to remember to bend your knees.
I know.
Absolutely.
They teach you that up there.
I know.
They've got instructors.
It's comprehensive. Have we got Nancy on the phone? You there, Nancy?
Yeah, hi.
Have you broken some kind of record, Nance?
Yeah, I stayed one whole week. I didn't get to watch TV.
One whole week? Whoa, one whole week without the telly. And how keen are you on the telly? I mean, is this a major sacrifice for you?
Yeah. I watch The Young and the Restless every day. Can you imagine a week without it?
No.
No, I can't. No, I can't imagine a world without it.
We're usually over on Oprah in here at Martin Malloy. But what about your friends? Were they calling you up, giving you the plot details that you missed out on?
No.
So you were cut off totally from the world of television.
Yep.
And why did you do it? Why, if you love your TV so much, why did you undertake a week without telly?
Oh, because my son bought a Sega. He won't let me watch anything at all.
He's breaking the record for who can use the Sega the longest.
So until the Sega people come out with the Young and Restless game,
you're buggered.
All right. Well, I don't know that that's too impressive. I think we've got time for one more caller, and it's another Daniel. Are you there, Daniel? You with us, Dan? Hello?
I'm here.
Oh, it's not that Daniel that keeps calling, is it?
Yeah, it is.
And what's your record?
Purple, mate.
And well, what are you up to?
Hey?
Well, how many have you done?
Thousands of them.
Thousands of them? We'll require verification. Can you give us one, Daniel?
Yeah.
Okay.
Get him up to Parish of Smiggins. That boy's going to break all records up there.
And have you been working on any other tricks for our program, Daniel?
A couple.
Couple? Yeah, what have you got there?
Oh, no.
You've been working real hard, haven't you? Round the clock.
Yeah, I don't know if that's worth a Sanyo Super Shower Wave Microwave Oven which cooks and defrosts more evenly and thoroughly.
No, I don't think so either.
Impressive though it is. Which is our winner, Mickey? We got Daniel number one with the Max, Naomi with the prawn chips, Jason up the Smiggins. On the Yawn, we've got Nancy with the fairly piss week, 1 week without Young and the Restless. Yeah. And, of course, Daniel with what we just heard. Probably, I suppose, Jason.
I think he's got a 19 in a row up the ski fields. Are you there, Jason?
Yeah, I'm here, mate.
You're the man whose efforts are being honoured today on national radio. You've got that Sanyo Super Shower Wave Microwave, and you've got that totally hands-free cordless phone, the Tabura, from our good friends at Sanyo also.
And the people at Parish of Smiggins are going to be rapt, because coming into the snow season, Tone, everyone's going to be trying to break that record.
We've got to go to where that Jason guy was. That's what they'll be saying. Okay, thanks for taking part, one and all. Hello to everyone listening in Townsville, and we'll be back in the next hour with the return of Prize Decks and Santo Chilaro.
This is Martin Malloy.
And in this hour of the mental wonder bra that is Martin Malloy, Prize Decks is back and giving you the chance to be at the world premiere of Steven Spielberg's new dino flick, The Lost World. We'll unveil our own bit of Oscar bait here on the show, and next up, Santo Chilaro returns, all thanks to Coca-Cola. Step by step here at Martin Malloy, it's the second hour. Our guest is installed, this bloke, he's TV's favourite pretend weatherman on Frontline, and he's got a hit movie, The Castle, out now at your local picture theatre. Here he is, occasional percussionist for top Melbourne wedding band Al Capone and his gangsters, Santo Chilaro.
I am not a weatherman, I'm a meteorologist, get it right.
But you're not denying the wedding band business. You weren't in Al Capone and his gangsters, were you? I know you spent a brief time in The Crimpoline 4 with Tony Frangoulis up front.
I was. I played Maracas on with the band called The Ambassadors.
Oh, of course. I've got that. I apologise to the gangsters if they're listening.
Weren't they involved in that head-to-head war with the diplomats? Wasn't it? It was.
That was at the Diplomat Motel. Oh. Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha. And it was Sergio G and his flippers who were playing there. Mm-hmm. I remember years ago when we were doing a radio show, Santa, you got this crazy idea to do a battle of the wedding bands. Mm-hmm. Remember, and you'd be off every night.
And it's stupid, I didn't even make it up. I actually went to places.
It wasn't a comedy sketch. It was for real.
It was for real. I never realised you can actually cheat on radio. You can actually, you can make it up, get some bad music and say that this is something I went and saw. But no, I'd go out and I think deep inside I've got that thing. You've got to go out and see wedding bands. Okay. Can't get it out of me.
Sure. Who was your... I remember you were coming in, you'd be going, oh, the gangsters were on fire last night. That encore.
Yeah. I've got a soft spot for Sergio's Four. Now, it was a different guy from... There was Sergio G and his flippers, and Sergio G still plays. Yeah. You can actually go... there's a restaurant in Carlton in Melbourne, and you can actually see him play. Yeah. I think he's got rid of the flippers a long time ago. That was a bit unwieldy when he was trying to sing. He'd fall over trying to get up on the stage.
I think we might have told this story on another radio program, but I actually was doing a comedy gig in Melbourne years ago, and I had to... Part of my responsibilities were to throw to Sergio G and the flippers who were coming on after me.
Right.
And the manager goes, could you just, you know, when you finish the comedy, mention that Sergio G and his flippers are going to be on stage. And so I've just, to amuse myself, I've started going that Sergio G and his flippers was just a guy and some flippers, wearing flippers, and that's all the act was. He just came out, and after about three goes of that, well, a guy came up to me, mate, Sergio G don't like that.
And, hey, look, if Sergio G doesn't like it, you better take care.
You'll be wearing concrete flippers.
It was like
you just had a whole bunch of dolphins that jumped around.
All right, this is getting us nowhere. How are you, Chill? I see.
I'm a bit upset because there's all these like art auctions going on, and apparently there's a few fakes floating around. So yeah. I had something. I bought what I thought was a Norman Lindsay from this art auction, and the guy at the moment says that to his knowledge that Norman Lindsay has never actually painted dogs playing pool.
And
he reckons the clock in the corner is just.
It's always a giveaway.
Yeah,
it's always a giveaway.
I cannot tell a joke, can I?
You've been working on material for the show, have you?
Yeah.
That's a break.
I've got a million of them.
And what about this castle? I know it's been open for its third weekend now, and it's still on. That's what I like about it. It's still on.
No, how about that? It must be some kind of mistake. People must think that they're coming to see, you know, the fourth part of Star Wars or something.
I remember
the castle returns.
There was a film which came out at a high-profile Australian movie, came out in about 1987. I won't say which one it is. It came out, it opened on the Thursday, and the ads for it said, hurry last days, on the day that it actually opened. And it did close the following Monday.
So was it a good film or
it was
20 questions.
It was meant to be a comedy. Let me put it that way.
Words Yahoo serious?
No, it wasn't one of Yahoo's efforts. But it's still on. Are you surprised by how people are just biting down on it?
Yeah, I must admit, I am actually a bit surprised. You know, I went out a couple of times to see whether the film is in focus, like out in the multiplexes and stuff. And it's great. I was out at a place the other night, and it was packed, and there were people laughing. Great laughing at all the swearing bits. You know?
Would you like a bit of feedback, Chill, right now?
Yes,
could I give you a bit of feedback?
Yes.
Well, my brother went to a sitting of the castle the other day. No, everyone loved it. Everyone had a ball. And as he was leaving, there was a queue to get out, and in front of him was like an 80-year-old woman who was struggling to get out and was being helped by one of the ushers.
Right.
And just politely, in the course of conversation, as he was trying to get her out, he's gone, and so what did you think of the film? And she's turned around and gone, it's disgusting. And he's gone, pardon me, it's disgusting. The whole thing was disgusting. And my brother's thinking, well, what? Could it have been the Bonnie Doon song? I mean, what? That was it. She's just hauled off.
She must have just got offended by the suffer in your jocks line. Although the worst reaction I've ever heard, and I think, Tony, I may have mentioned this one to you, is I went and saw Sex, Lies and Videotape out somewhere, and at the end of the film, there's only about six or seven of us there, and this big, huge guy stood up at the end of it and just farted. Just stood up and farted.
Yeah, as we said, if when they start introducing that as a rating system on the movie show, I'll be watching every week. I give it 3 silent but deadly, David. All right, look, I think you can see the kind of program it is. Sando, can you stick around for another break with us?
Oh, yes, please.
Yes, there's a phrase Sando Chilaro has tattooed on his ass. Life is a highway. Want to ride it all night long. That's the most philosophical song we play here.
Life is a what? I didn't even...
It's a highway.
It's a highway.
And you want to ride it all night long. Just hang on, just let that sink in.
It's got many lanes. It's got an emergency lane. It's got arrows pointing this way and that way.
Yeah, stop.
Sometimes it's got a policeman standing by.
It's Martin Malloy, the show where we just crap on till they turn the power off. Now,
Sando, this might be quite soon.
Sando, what's the story with, you mentioned there is a little bit of the blue language in your film The Castle, which is out now. Have you had the plane people calling you up? Because it always interests me when they have to do the version for the airplanes.
That's interesting that you bring that up. No, because I think there is one airline that's interested in actually showing The Castle on one of its flights, possibly one of its shorter flights, because it's not a very long film. But, I hate explaining something after I've said it. But anyway, and they sent a list of words. It's a list of words that they'd like changed.
Don't say what they are.
No,
imagine. Do they suggest alternatives?
No. Well... occasionally, I don't know whether they've gone whether you go the frig option or the just your beep, the beep option, or I don't know, the sound effects.
Right. Because, you know, sometimes they film whole different versions. Did you see Forrest Gump on a plane?
No, I've seen The Scarlet Letter on a plane, but I haven't seen Forrest Gump on a plane.
Well, they left most of that in, did they?
They doubled the length of it, apparently.
Now, Forrest Gump, if you remember, there's a bit in Forrest Gump where he invents... the phrase, and it's a bit blue, kiddies, shit happens. Remember they suggested...
Did you say shit?
Oh, look.
Sorry, go ahead.
But they suggest that he invented that phrase on a T-shirt, and you see it on a bumper sticker, and then the car pulls away from the camera and then drives out into a street
gets hit
by another car and blows up. Now, for the plane version, you have a look at the plane version, they've totally reshot the whole sequence with the plane near the crash and everything, just so they could change it to It Happens. So when you're on a plane, Forrest Gump thinks up the phrase It Happens, but they had to go, oh, we're going to have to redo. So they would have shot that whole car accident twice with a different bumper
What
sticker.
A ridiculous thing to happen.
Yes, it is. So did they put in a list of requests of things they want changed or adaptions to make it suitable for showing on a plane? Is that the idea?
No, it was just a list saying this word needs to go.
Okay. What about the whole premise of the house being situated on an airstrip? Did they take umbrage at that? No, you've got to change that. It's not as dumb as it sounds. I know someone who was involved with Muriel's Wedding. And, you know, originally that was designed, right, to be shot on the Fairstar. Like, you know, when they go on the holiday over to Bali and they're all mucking around on the island.
Yeah.
Originally it was supposed to take place on the Fairstar, but the Fairstar got the script and said, hang on, we can't have that, it's lowering the tone.
If you've seen it. Lifting the tone.
Raising the tone of our boat. Can't have
that. A classy boat.
Well, there you go.
Wow. All right.
It's informative, this segment, isn't it?
Everyone's learning a lot today.
It's turning into the Curiosity Show before our eyes. What about Frontline? That's on tonight.
Tonight, yeah, and Mike writes a book about himself.
Oh, does he really?
Yeah, yeah.
It's called The Truth.
Yeah. No. Mike has a problem because he's trying to find what he's trying to entitle the book, but it needs to have his name in it. The whole premise of the story tonight is eye disease, as in I, the first person, and it's just based on this. You know, any time you see an observation, it's like I don't know. There was some guy in 60 Minutes reliving the horror of Port Arthur 1 year on, and it was full of, like, when I returned, I saw these people, and what I saw was this, that, and the other, and you're thinking, who cares about you?
Yeah. Well, you hear about that, don't you? You hear about people putting more references to themselves in the way that's written. That and really goes on.
Really does go on. Oh, yes, you'd be surprised. That happens in the world of current affairs.
Now, we're getting towards the final episode, obviously, and every time you come in, we ask, what's going to happen? How's it going to end? Will a church explode like on Dynasty? Will
interesting that you say that, because we're tossing. Well, I don't know. We're tossing up various possibilities, in fact, I think the young ones ended with a bus plunge. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah, it certainly did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, trying to get Mike into a bus is a bit of a problem.
It'll have to be an ambiguous bus plunge, though.
Yes.
Because in case there was another series.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Although you can just get away with anything now. You know, you remember Alien. The third Alien movie ended, I think, with Sigourney Weaver jumping into a big thing of molten lead and clearly being killed. They're doing a fourth one, and the way they've got around that is part of her DNA survived, and we've cloned a new Sigourney Weaver. It's exactly the same.
That was Jurassic Park, wasn't it? The DNA situation.
Well, funny you mentioned Jurassic Park. Do we want to rope Sando into the segment?
Yeah, why not? Oh.
All right, Pete, give us the mail.
It's time to play Prize Dicks. Have you made a dick of yourself lately? Maybe you've accidentally showed up to an office party in fancy dress. Perhaps you've attempted all 27 verses of MacArthur Park at a karaoke night. Or maybe you're just Wigfield. Whatever your tale of woe, Mick and Tony are giving you the chance to turn dictum to triumph and bag yourself a prize in the process. The Lost World is the new movie from Steven Spielberg and the sequel to the most successful film of all time, Jurassic Park. Every prize dick takes home a Lost World prize pack and goes into the draw for a trip for two to Hong Kong to attend the world premiere of The Lost World. Okay, lads, bring forth the dicks.
We'll do just that. We did this segment last year sometime, and boy, people were queuing up to tell us how they made dicks of themselves.
Well, yeah.
Have you made a dick of yourself, Mick Malloy?
Oh, you'll have to be more specific. Here's one. This is true. I was at a theatre production once, and in front of me, in the row in front of me, a fight broke out, and I got involved in it.
Did you?
Later to find out it was part of the production. I've popped a guy on the nose. Well, because they had these hair done up. They had their hair slicked back, and they looked like real Sharpies. It was a stage production of Rebel Without a Cause. So it was two guys just jumped up and started wailing, and I've jumped out of a chair and popped one on the nose. And they turned around and go, "What are you doing?" I go, "Mate, shut up, or there's plenty more where that came from."
It's the theatre critic from the local.
They brought me out some flowers.
Thank God it wasn't Julius Caesar. Hey, they're stabbing Julius Caesar. I'm going to do it too. He's dead. Got him, guys.
Got him a beauty. Have you made a dick of yourself recently, Sandra?
It to Mick. I've often made a dick of myself. I remember once, the first time I'd ever used a video recorder on a holiday, I didn't know the difference between rec and STBY inside the machine. So I was filming, like, footpaths and stuff like that, and, you know, get it to the Colosseum, you actually pan up to the Colosseum, then it just stops.
That explains that 5 minutes of footpaths in last week's Frontline.
But I got to nominate these two guys that I once saw at a cinema about 10 years ago. There was a film called Carmen Out I think it was a Spanish guy. And these two absolute rough blokes in singlets go up to it, and it was Carmen on the poster, and there was like a woman in red separating the words car and men, and the two blokes looked up and said, "What do you reckon, mate? Carmen." I reckon it's a good film. Let's go see. It's got a chick in it.
We're like Smokey and the Bandit. That's what we're looking for. Little bits of behaviour that stamp you as a prize dick. And have we got a prize? I think you heard we've got the Lost World Pack, which contains the VHS video cassette of Jurassic Park and lots of Lost World accessories. We've had a look at the trailer. Haven't seen the actual film of the Lost World. Looking like dino action.
Oh, yeah.
It's all the dino action you could want. It's got shots in it that I know would have, just one shot would have cost more than the whole of the castle, I'm guessing, in the Lost World. And not as much blue talk, of course. What about this bloke? Do we have time to get to...
Oh, you're on your own if you're getting into that.
No, it's really just for our Victorian listeners, and we don't have time to talk about the fantastic work of MP Bruce Atkinson, who's put out a book of poems, and the poems include Making Love, Tabletop Dancer, and my favourite, Political Rally at Preston Town Hall. And I wish we had time. I think we should get a segment. We should get him in, and he can read one of his own poems every day on the show. Because, you know, here's one of his poems, My Waterloo. And I'm just going to read the opening line of My Waterloo. "Your thighs are my Waterloo." And it proceeds from there. I know a lot of people are talking about the work of Bruce, and I'm certainly hoping... we can get copies of that book, Sans, to give away on the program as the week progresses.
And that guy's an independent consultant. He's obviously not a fashion consultant.
Oh, have a look. And check out them Ugg boots.
The Ugg boots are just the icing on the cake. We don't have time for full details. Call us now if you've made a prize dick of yourself. 1-800-657-657. Yes, that tells us. Thank you very much, the Martin Malloy Swing Generals, playing the Prize Dicks theme. Must be time for Prize Dicks, it is, here at Martin Malloy. Santo Chilaro is judging today.
Here come the judge, and it's me.
That's right. I don't know if he's... has he done Prize Dicks before? It's pretty difficult because we've got about four callers. Each one of them has made a dick of themselves.
And let's say I have to choose the best.
Yeah, you certainly do.
I'll try and remember that.
And we've got a Lost World pack for the winner, and that person will be going into the draw for that trip for two to Hong Kong. It's the New World. They're calling Hong Kong the New World these days for the premiere of The Lost World. You see, the people in the prize department have thought this through.
They've been up all night working on that.
Okay, let's meet the contestants. And who's first, Mick?
Let's try Warren. How are you, buddy?
Good, buddy.
That's the way. Just run us through it. How have you made a dick of yourself lately?
Well, a couple of years ago, I was down at Bondi Beach there in the old famous beach. Mm-hmm. And met up with an old mate of mine that I hadn't seen for a while, and he recently got engaged. And this young lady's walking past, and I said to him, she wouldn't be a bad sort to sort of go to bed with, would she? And ended up being his fiancée.
Yeah, nice.
It's an oh-so-familiar story. Was that a special that Ray Martin did, Good Sorts to Go to Bed With? Was that one of his celebrity specials?
I think so.
Okay. Well, that's a story we've heard many times before here on Prize Dicks. Mm.
Now, how did it end up? Did you score?
No, the egg was definitely on my face.
Okay, that's how it works. Let's see if Sue has made a dick of herself. Are you there, Sue? Sue, are you with us? Oh, she's decided I can't top that. Mm. The old mistaken identity on the beach. Any idea what had happened to Sue, Mick?
I believe, was it a bumper sticker?
Yes.
I think she had a bumper sticker on her car and it was attracting undue attention.
Really?
That's really embarrassing.
All I've got written here is the word horny. Okay. It was a bumper sticker. It involved the word horny.
Maybe she was the person that walked past that guy, that Warren fellow.
And
she just got a bit shy.
And she's backed off.
Exactly.
All right. Maybe she's a bit horny.
Maybe she isn't.
Let's move on. I think that's how this works. Justin, are you with us?
Yep.
Justin, where are you calling from?
Kippering.
Oh, dear. And it sounds like bad news. What's happened to you?
I took my sister's front wheel off to fix it because it had a puncture.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And I put it back on and I had to go at the shop.
Right.
I was going up and I forgot to tighten it when I put it back on and I did a little wheelie and the front wheel came off.
Oh, no,
that's terrible.
And did you do what I would have done when I was a kid, make it look intentional? Yeah. I meant that to happen.
No.
I meant to break my neck.
And are you calling us from hospital, Justin?
No.
Right, and were you subject to a lot of laughter from onlookers?
Not really.
You would have been getting a lot of laughter from your mates just for riding your sister's bike, I reckon. That's enough for making a dick of yourself, Justin.
What sort of bike is it?
A BMX.
Oh, BMX.
Mm. Yeah.
The young folks still into the BMXs?
Oh, yeah, they've got all the tanch forks and their chrome molly goosenecks.
Oh, of course.
And I know the lingo. I'm in touch with the young kids today, Tane. Yeah. That's the difference between me and you.
Weren't you one of the original BMX bandits?
It was close.
You and Nicole Kidman. All right, let's move on. I think Craig is on the line. You there, Craig?
Sure am.
Have you made a dick of yourself?
Sure have.
Tell us what happened.
Well, I was working one day and I had these undies on and they were, the elastic had gone and they were all loose.
Oh, dear, it was the bad pair of undies. Yeah, okay, yep.
So I've fallen out all day, see, so I've got footy shorts on.
Yeah.
And with the cord that ties the footy shorts, I thought I'd loop it around and tie it up so it wouldn't keep falling out.
Okay, I think we understand what you mean.
Yeah.
It's creating a fairly graphic picture in here, but on you go, Craig.
So everything was going all right during the day, but then we went over to get some lunch, and no one knew about it. None of the boys knew about it, and getting over to get some lunch. Next minute, in the middle of the street, one of them pants me.
Oh dear!
It's hanging down. It pants it down to my knees, and it's hanging down. Oh, however many inches it is.
Yeah,
it was a shocker.
Oh dear! And there's a fair bit of rope work going on.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Two blokes in horses rode past, tried to wrangle it.
Has that ever happened to David Duchovny?
Absolutely.
He has a fishing reel down the side of the pants, just in case that goes on.
Indeed.
Well, I think that's our selection today, sir.
Well, dick of yourself is quite an apt expression, I think, for the past, possibly Craig.
Craig.
Get yourself some underdags.
It may have been embarrassing at the time, but who's laughing now? You've got that Lost World pack and you've gone into the drawer, as in drawstring, for a trip for two to Hong Kong. Oh, dear. And, that's going off, I think, in 3 weeks' time, and you'll be there walking in. If you come out of the barrel to the premiere of the Lost World, you'll be able to go up to Steven Spielberg, shake his hand, and tell him why you're there. Wear some long pants. Thanks for taking part. Thanks to everyone who took part, and thank you, Sando, for coming along.
I just have to say, Frontline's on tonight, and The Castle is on, hopefully, for the next 5 or 6 years.
Yes, indeed. And Frontline tonight, an altogether classier affair than Prize Dicks.
Oh, yeah.
Here at Martin Molloy. Oh, that must mean it's time for us to go here at Martin Molloy. Time for us to sign off. We have got some important movie news coming up just before we go, but I'd like to obviously remind you, if you're in Melbourne, Paul Hester's final bit of shed action is unfolding on stage tonight at the Esplanade Hotel, out the back in the Gershwin Room. Paul Hester on stage with his band, Largest Living Things. He'll be joined by Renee Geyer, Peter Rosethorne and Magda Szybanski, and a surprise mystery guest.
Oh, who could it be?
Oh,
who could it
be? Who's that going to be? Could be anybody.
Could be David Duchovny. Could be anybody.
It could be David Duchovny and his credit card. On stage tonight, we'd like to thank our guests today, Asunto Chalauro, all our gladiators and prize dicks. Tomorrow, thanks to Coca-Cola, we will be joined by Joey Pistone. He is, of course, the real-life figure. The film Donnie Brasco is based on him. He was Donnie Brasco.
He was, for some time.
That was his undercover name. And I just want to point out the interview was, in fact, recorded last week. So, you know, just in case you're thinking of popping down the station to claim that $500,000 reward on his head, we already did it last week. He's out of the country by now. And just before we go, check this out.